Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're discussing a new book entitled Supermind, How to Boost Performance and Live a Richer and Happier Life Through Transcendental Meditation. Our guest is a psychiatrist on the faculty of Georgetown University School of Medicine and a researcher at the National Institute of Mental Health. He's one of the foremost researchers on the subject of the scientific benefits of meditation. And Dr. Rosenthal, how does one get started with this? I mean, do you have to sit in an uncomfortable cross-legged position? That used to daunt me when I thought of meditating, because I thought of those yogis, you know, who can do stuff. They're so flexible, but I can't sit there for a long period of time. That distracts me, the pain in my knees and hips.
You know, what I should say up front is that this technique is taught by people who have been trained to teach it. So that's something people need to know. It's a technique that is taught. And so the book itself does not teach you how to do the technique. People say, well, is it a how-to book? I say, no, it's not a how-to book. It's a why-to book. In other words, what this technique is going to take, if you do it properly, is 20 minutes twice a day. And our time is our most valuable resource, and it's finite. We only have a certain amount of it. So in order to commit that amount of time, you know, something has to be really worth our while. And so this is really the case made for why it's worth that sort of investment in time and, you know, in getting trained and so on and so forth. But let's skip that for a moment and say, once you get trained, what are the elements of the training? Well, you're going to be taught to sit in a comfortable chair. No cross-legged sitting is needed. No double lotus twisting into a circle, not needed. Sit comfortably in the chair. Close your eyes. Make yourself comfortable. And then, as you have been taught, begin to think your mantra. And that's where everything begins to flow from that action. And it sounds, you know, so effortless, so simple. It really is. But, you know, most of the things that we do every day, we're taught take a lot of effort if you're going to get good at it. So the idea of doing something that's quite effortless doesn't come that easy to us.
Indeed. That reminds me of the movie Annie Hall. I think it's a movie in which Goldblum makes his debut, young Jeff Goldblum, and he's a character who wanders into a party there, and he keeps mumbling, "I've forgotten my mantra, I've forgotten my mantra."
I don't remember that. I love that movie, by the way.
It's a great movie, but it sort of speaks to the trendiness of that, at that time. It was the early 1970s. It was popularized in that era, and that's when I actually got introduced to it myself.
Exactly.
Is the mantra like, it's like your own secret mantra? Is it like like a Masonic ritual, you know, where it's very secret? Or is this something that you create for yourself, or something is bestowed on you that, you know, works for you?
Well, there are that you don't tell people your mantra. And the way I view it, it's not like it's, you know, I would be breaking faith with some, you know, religious tradition or anything like that. But it's like private, and it's associated with some very personal, internal, lovely times for me. And I wouldn't want to really be talking about it any more than I'd want to share my toothbrush with anybody.
Okay.
So that's the way I see it. Yes, they do ask that you don't discuss it, and I certainly wouldn't mention it over the podcast, but you know, not like I thought that anything awful or terrible would happen if I did, you know.
Okay. So the process, the physical time involved is relaxation over two sessions, 20 minutes a day, and you basically put in your time and you accrue the benefits, and then, you know, it becomes a not an effortful thing. I think people then assume the habit. They just get into, you know, it's sort of like things that you like doing that you incorporate in your routine, whether it be exercise, whether it be certain dietary habits, sleep habits, relaxation habits. It becomes part of your daily routine. And I guess because of the fact that it may energize people, you know, some people say, look, there's no time in my day for that. I'm too busy. I have to use that time. I'm already sleep deprived. How can I, take 40 minutes out of the day to do this? The benefits may accrue such that you feel more energized and you might feel less tired with the same amount of sleep.
Well, I think absolutely. You know, firstly, it becomes self-reinforcing. You know, you keep doing it because it's really pleasant and it really pays for itself. And I think what you say about sometimes needing less sleep is very true. You get more energy, you need less sleep. It's a very good thing, you know, and it's very manageable. And the book is full of people who are very highly successful, as well as regular folks.
Mm-hmm.
But the point of including people who are really highly successful is twofold. The one is to show that these are people really at the top of their game, and yet they're finding time to do this, and that they are attributing a lot of their success to their transcendental meditation. I mean, there's so many interesting people. I mean, I don't want to be names droppy about
well,
it.
There's certainly, David Lynch, who has his very own foundation, who's a fabulous producer. I love his movies, although sometimes I can't figure out where he's going with them.
Indeed. But, you know, a couple of people who come to mind are wealth management guys in mm-hmm. Wall Street.
Right.
They didn't feel like they were doing their very best work. They learned to do TM. These are very, very busy guys. And they've had their best years ever mm-hmm. doing TM.
Right.
So, it's
interesting. There's actually a TV series, and I think it's on Showtime, perhaps HBO, Billions. And the character there, he meditates. I mean, he's like really an intense hedge fund trader. And, you know, they show him, you know, as he completes his meditation and, you know, he opens his eyes and says, come on in now, you know, and I'll execute a multi-billion-dollar deal.
Right. And I mean, part of it is just like funny and cool. But part of it is, you know, if I had a billion-dollar deal that I was going to negotiate, I'd want to meditate first because I get wonderful ideas and I make the best judgments after mm-hmm. I've meditated.
Mm-hmm. Also benefits in terms of, you know, you mentioned a golfer. I think there are athletes who incorporate meditation in their routine because that seems to improve their concentration and efficiency.
Yes, I think so. In fact, there's a chapter in which I talk about getting into the zone, and I talk about the former All-Star baseball pitcher Barry Zito, who was the starting
Oakland A's,
Yes, and then the San Francisco
That's the Moneyball guy. That's the guy was on the Moneyball team. Yeah,
that's correct. Anyway, this was the San Francisco Giants, and they were in line for the World Series, and it was a playoff game against the Cardinals, and it was do or die. You know, they were 3-1 down. They were down, you know, 1-3 for the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, hard to make a comeback.
And if they lost this one, it would be the end of the story. And he had been meditating, you know, TM, and he got into the zone, and I was watching that game, and every pitch went just where he wanted it. I'd never seen anything
mm-hmm.
like it. And
yeah.
I've interviewed him, and he's explained how helpful it was.
Well, there is something about the perfect execution in athleticism, you know, the amazing golf swing or the tennis stroke or the pitch that really it's not, you know, you don't think about it. It's not like, well, okay, I'm going to hold my arm at this angle. I'm going to release my fingers at this angle. Like the ball, you know, it all kind of flows and it has to come from a very deep place of concentration. So meditation, obviously, you can tap into
right.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, I mean,
yeah,
whatever.
Absolutely right.
It's not the conscious mind. In other words, it comes from a sort of a another place. I mean, consciousness.
The Chinese had a word for it called Wei Wu. effortless virtuosity, which is so well practiced. It's so well practiced that it's these routines are encoded in the nervous system. And what you have to do is you have to get your head out of it, so to speak. You can't be thinking about it because then you lose that spontaneous excellence.
Yeah. Another way of putting it is there's a beautiful, I think it's a Zen or Buddhist saying, which is, you know, when you're trying to execute something, and I think of this sometimes when I'm, you know, doing a triathlon, is that you are the arrow and the bow has been pulled back and it's just your job to fly. You know, it's like you are
beautiful.
Yeah, which is really, kind of an interesting image because it suggests that the propulsion is coming from outside you. You don't have to slog it out, you know, with effort.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm going to be the devil's advocate for a moment here because I have in front of me an article from the Daily Mail, which is a lurid English tabloid. With headlines that are clickbait for people, and the headline here is "The Dark Side of Meditation and Mindfulness: Treatment Can Trigger Mania, Depression, and Psychosis." New book claims. You're probably aware of somebody who's writing a catchy book which talks about the very opposite, that meditation can make you go off the deep end.
Well, you know, I actually recommend it. I'm a clinical psychiatrist. I recommend it to my patients.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has gone off the deep end yet. This is
okay.
The first time, I suppose. But, you know, I think it's like a man bites dog story.
Yes.
You know, when everybody says meditation is good for you, the only place in the marketplace to make inroads with a new book is that it's really terrible for you. So I wouldn't pay too much heed to it. Of course, you know, you can have too much of anything, including water. People can have water intoxication. So, you know, anything can be bad if it's overdone.
Indeed. So, again, let's kind of focus back on proven health benefits, because I think there has been some research on TM for specific conditions. Is there any evidence that it may help to combat hypertension, for example, or reduce the risk of a heart attack or stroke, or help with digestive ailments, anything along those lines?
Yes. In fact, hypertension is a prime indication for TM. The American Heart Association has endorsed it, TM, as a legitimate treatment for hypertension, either as a solo treatment or a complementary treatment. And it has made that very specific recommendation on the basis of multiple controlled studies. So that's very big because you can reduce medicines in some cases. You can reduce the likelihood of stroke and heart attack, which are big killers. So that's huge. Then on the psychiatric side, there's evidence that it can help anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Hmm. So that would be very important for the VA hospitals, because there's so many shattered individuals coming back from the combat zone. Psychiatric medications, as you probably know, have limited value in PTSD. So this may be a better way of handling it.
Well, I definitely think it's worth doing. We certainly had a very, very impressive pilot study of veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan, and I saw some of them myself. I couldn't believe my eyes how much they were helped. But all the way back to the post-Vietnam era, there's a nice controlled study of TM for PTSD. And in fact, there are large-scale studies currently being done, and the results are not yet out.
Hmm. How about, addiction and craving? I think that many of the ailments that affect us are due to, if not, actual drug and alcohol addiction, the hard stuff. People who can't control their appetites and are subject to enormous food cravings, can't focus on proper nutrition.
Yeah, in fact, there are, to my knowledge, 19 controlled studies of TM for various kinds of addiction. And some of them are really very well done. So, like any group, like any group of studies, they're going to be of uneven quality, but some are really excellent, you know. So, and they go across the spectrum from smoking to alcohol problems to other kinds of drugs.
Indeed.
So, you know, it's and then there are very famous cases of it. For example, Howard Stern quitting his 3.5-pack cigarette, addiction, mm-hmm. just from transcendental meditation.
You know, contrary to his image on radio, on Sirius Radio, I met Howard Stern in person, and he's really a very calm, focused, nice individual. So he just puts on this kind of crazed persona on the radio. So,
right.
You know,
well, it certainly worked well for him.
Yeah. And, you know, it's an affectation. Let's put it that way. Okay. So, you know, clearly there are benefits. There are tangible benefits in terms of physical ailments. There are benefits in terms of psychological well-being. And then there's this, you know, sort of additional benefit is that consciousness illuminates your life or allows you to enjoy life more, because we have precious little time on Earth, and the more conscious you are, you know, the more rich your life can be. And that's not something that you can measure in terms of a specific health outcome. It's a quality of life issue.
Yeah, I think you've put it very well. In my chapter headings in Supermind, I sort of specify different ways that it helps. For example, engagement and detachment. You know, we're taught that it's good to love and to work, you know, to be engaged with the people in your life and the work that you do. That's, you know, a good thing to do. But, you know, what when a relationship doesn't work or when a job isn't working for you, you know, as the country and western song goes, how do you know when to hold them and when to fold them? You know, how do you extricate yourself from engagement when it's not serving you well? And that's something that the meditation really, really helps. Internal growth. Here's an interesting thing. Supportive nature.
Yep.
The common experience that when you meditate that it feels as though the world is becoming more cooperative with you, that
mm-hmm.
people are more inclined to help
right.
you. And the reason, my guess is that you just are a nicer person, you know?
Yes. Well, but you know,
meditation.
There's something struck me in reading your book is that it is claimed by some that after they meditate, they get more parking spaces. Now, that's an
yes,
interesting concept. It's almost like a magical concept, like all of a sudden the parking spaces appear. But I think what that refers to is almost like a metaphor that the world, it cooperates more with you. It's somehow less aggravating.
Let's say you come into a parking lot.
Right.
And you're stressed and you're impatient.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing is there's never any parking spaces over
mm-hmm.
here. You aren't even there for 30 seconds, and you've already determined there's no parking space.
That happened to me just yesterday.
it didn't used to be this way. It's gotten
right.
too full. It's not even
right.
worth coming here.
Right.
So on and so forth. So it feels like it's taking forever. But let's say you come in and you say, oh, gosh, you know, this is interesting. I didn't realize there was a new pizzeria over there. And look, that's a useful kind of store. And I'll go here. I'll go there. It could be the same amount of time, but it doesn't feel like it because you're not so impatient.
Right. It's interesting. I used to have a roommate, and we nicknamed him Easy because his answer to everything was easy. And you know, I don't know whether he meditated or whether that was his natural personality, but that I think is a great state to aspire to. Is that confronted mm-hmm. with problems? You know, it's easy. And I think that a meditative practice can contribute to a sense of ease in the world that can make a difference.
Easier. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great.
Exactly.
Any additional points that we think we should cover? What about tangible suggestions for people to embark on this? That people should get your book. They'll learn about the rationale, but you know, are there TM centers in every major municipality?
Yes, absolutely. You should have tm.org, which will locate your nearest TM center or TM teachers. That's one to go for. And, you know, if folks want to know more about me and my work, they can easily find me on the web, normanrosenthal.com. And so those are a couple of resources that are good to know. There are two chapters in the book that I think people might be particularly interested in, and those are Meditate and Grow Rich and Meditate and Be Happy. Those are two things that a lot of people are wanting, and I think meditation is one viable way to get them.
Excellent.
So those are some of the things that people should be cognizant of.
Indeed. Well, thank you very much. And, you know, congratulations on spearheading this wonderful research. And, oh, by the way, you are the author of Winter Blues. So this is not the time of year to be talking about winter blues. In fact, we're close to the summer solstice. So winter blues are far off. But in a few months, perhaps we'll re-invite you to talk about
it would be my pleasure.
The latest research
on... It's been really fun talking.
The latest research on seasonal affective disorder. The website, normanrosenthal.com, and the book is entitled Supermind, How to Boost Performance and Live a Richer and Happier Life Through Transcendental Meditation. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Rosenthal.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Yes, bye-bye. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine Podcast.